What a twat.
Morgan!
And good morning, good evening, good welcome, one and all. Welcome back to the Unsalty Popcorn Podcast, where with true professionalism, John promised not to say anything, said something, and then Laura coughed.
I've been leading up to that for 27 episodes.
have we done that many? I can't believe we've done that many. I mean, we only started this last Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we are 27 episodes into this, because I'm glad one person's keeping score, and we've somehow almost come to the end of David Tennant's time in the TARDIS. But today, we have something a bit special, and joining us for something a bit special are the usual culprits. We have over there the sneezy coffee Laura Monmouth.
Hi!
And we have over there, all earphoned and smiling, it's Morgan.
Hello.
And looking slightly puzzled, it's John. I don't know whether to start talking about this straight away, because I am genuinely excited about the thing we're going to watch. But one of you two can talk about where it fits in, because you know me, I don't pay any attention. But I am genuinely excited about this. Or do we want to know what Morgan said, what John said to Morgan to make her face go red this afternoon? What should we do? What should we deal with first?
It wasn't anything. It wasn't out of embarrassment. I just wanted to. Well, I'm not sure if it was out of embarrassment or not. It just hit the giggles. And I kept the fact that Tanya was playing old tapes that she had. She was playing old tapes that she had, and one of the tapes was the Pogues. And there's a Pogues tune that specifically sounds like an Irish jig version of the Doctor Who theme.
Hey.
And then I just started coming up with lyrics for Irish Doctor Who. And the lyric that made Morgan turn red and nearly burst into flames was, I am Doctor Who, you stupid fucking bastard.
You do realise that tune actually sounded alarmingly like the theme tune to The Archers.
Morgan couldn't hear it at first, but in the end she agreed that it sounded like the Doctor tune and wanted to play it for you guys, but of course we can't do that due to copyright.
Yeah, so you could get away with about 10 seconds of it and that would be about it, so we'll have to share that afterwards.
What's copyright? Good answer, Morgan. You know what clickbait is, but you don't know what copyright is. Copyright means that someone's gone to the trouble to make Irish Doctor Who tune and it's not up to you. You don't own it.
I think that's very much a generational age thing there, isn't it? That we are all of an age.
We understand the concept of owning music.
Yeah. Well, there is that. But we understand the concept of copyright, whereas the younger generation understand the concept of clickbait.
Yeah, but it's... Can she just said, well, this is actually quite an interesting thing, and you can actually explain it to her.
Oh dear. Or
said that you play your little drum tune at the beginning.
Ah, I'm glad you brought that up. When this wee podcasty thing started way back in the dim and distant past, when the world was a free place and you could get up in the morning and not be afraid of dying by lunchtime, I did this podcast with my father, who is a singer in a band, and the band are called Private Dicks, and at the time, they were in the process of recording their second album, a mere 30-odd years after the first one. My father saw what Guns N' Roses did and went, ha, we can beat that. And so that's the intro to a Private Dick song, the title of which immediately escapes me because that's what happens to my head. Because I'm old and I understand copyright, but not clickbait. Basically...
Just apologise.
Do not apologise. Do not apologise. So basically, the reason I can use that tune is because I technically am related. Well, not technically. I am related to the person who created it, and he has given me permission to use it ad infinitum. So that has now become my theme tune.
We will
contact the Pogues.
Yeah, let's write to the Pogues.
Irish Doctor Who.
To be fair, you've got someone on here who never asked Brian May for permission to use a Queen song for the best part of 3.5 years. So it's, you know, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, it's a grey area, music copyright, isn't it?
It is, because you've got about 15 to 20 seconds you can use as a clip.
Yeah, but all 6 minutes gets a little bit harsh. And then that second version I did, which incorporates 12 different songs. Do you know what? Probably one day going to get in the shit for that. But that's
possibly,
all right.
Possibly. Although you do have that other special version where the person who's supposed to press play forgets, and that saves you an awful lot of time.
Oh, always.
Although that only happened once. So where are we? Yeah, right. So, hello, welcome back. So today we are watching, I keep stretching my leg. This is an entirely visual thing. I'm stretching my legs in excitement. like I've turned into a Lego man and they're just straight out in front of me. We are watching Doctor Who Dreamland.
We are.
Now, John knows the history of this and I don't, so I'll let him talk.
Basically, it was part of the 2009 specials. They announced, I think, between Planet of the Dead and War of Mars that they were going to have a Red Button special. They didn't give us any more details about it. I think this was cut into about five parts, I think, as I recall. And you had to watch it like from Monday to Friday on the Red Button. And it was set after Waters of Mars. That's what you need to know.
That'll do. Because it's actually now available on one of those metal disc things you can get these days called, what's the word, DVD. I don't know if you've heard of these.
They're the ones that are like small laser discs.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The mini laser disc, if you will. Sort of the flat metal version of an 8-track.
Morgan's got a question. Morgan's just a statement, I apologise.
Oh, it's a statement. Go on then. State.
To see Doctor Who, I don't know if it's the same layer on them, but he kind of looks like someone from the Simpsons because he's very yellow in that picture.
He does look very yellow in the picture we've got. We're not. Yep. He
looks like someone from the Simpsons.
Well, he's an animation, so. But he's
too yellow.
Well, this was the other thing that really excited me about this, because obviously John and I, being sensible grown-up adults, piss away our money. which part of that sentence caused you to splutter there, Morgan? The sensible adults or the pissing away money?
The sensible bit.
That sounds reasonable. And we buy all the Doctor Who Blu-ray DVD thingies that now come out. What I like about this is the animation is completely in keeping with the new style they've gone with for all the Patrick Troughton episodes they've put together. So it kind of meshes with the Doctor Who universe.
Yep.
It's almost like they thought about it, but I'm not totally sure they did.
I think they're probably just going to see people do it. Is it not Cosgrove? What do you call them?
Is that Cosgrove Hall, the creators of Danger Mouse and Dracula?
And Wind of the Willows?
Hugo and Victor?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Victor and Hugo, wasn't it? Because Victor Hugo died.
Yeah. But they do, there is a play on that, and the theme tune is the fact that Hugo
and Victor, yeah, that's what
I'm thinking about, yeah. I'd forgotten about Hugo and Victor.
But basically, what we're saying is these people basically would have kept David Jason in the public eye had he not got another role at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it was like they were his little side project.
Well, they basically kept him employed while he was working on other stuff. He'd pop in for an afternoon, do five episodes of Count Duncan. Brilliantly, they also kept I think his name was Jack May, employed when he wasn't in The Archers.
Okay.
The guy who voiced the butler.
David Jason's time with Cosgrove Hall was, the only rattle Jack I can think of is when Gwen Stefani kept him back to do stuff with No Doubt.
Oh, you know what, David Jason.
You do realise I now have the song Hollaback Dell in my head, don't you?
Of course, you can't sing it to us because of copyright.
It's not quite as good as the well-known hit 16 Suitcases. Was it 16 Stone? It was, wasn't it? There are, actually, on that note, because you know Bush went away and came back again.
Yeah.
Only technically came back as a solo project because half the...
The son in between the Clinton administration, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was talking about something else, sorry.
Yes, no. I know Bush has gone away and come back again, but that's a whole preference thing. the band went away. He did a solo project. It didn't really go well. I think he may have even tried a solo album. Didn't go well. While all that wasn't going well, he was getting divorced and stuff. He got the band back together, and he only got one other original member and a couple of other hangers-on. And just released their second album. And in both cases, and I don't know if the older Bush stuff is the same, but you tend to find that it's about two-thirds of a good album, but it's about four tracks too long.
Yeah. If only there was a way around that.
I know, exactly. But there are about five songs too many on both albums. But the previous album was a brilliant thing. Had the best poetic environmental campaigning line you'll ever hear in a rock song. The polar bears are weeping. Sung with all the passion and gusto you'd expect from Mr. Area 51
also,
himself.
Also a sneak preview of a line of dialogue from Series 13.
Yes. And also, kind of given his surname, ties in nicely with Doctor Who Dreamland. Anyway, never mind. Where are we at? Should we actually try and watch this?
Did you actually watch this like you said you were going to?
I did.
Or is this the first time for you?
No, this will be my second time. I watched it yesterday.
This is your second time. Obviously, John's watched it before. Has Morgan watched it?
Morgan's never seen it.
Okay, so there's two of us that have never seen this before.
Even when Morgan has seen an episode before, she's got this baffled look in her face if she doesn't have a clue what's going on.
That's her normal expression through every podcast.
Travels through time.
Where's she gone?
I don't know. Morgan!
She's gone to Gallifrey.
You might need to bear with me a second. It appears to have...
She's away. I mean, I suppose this makes the whole podcast sound more authentic, but it's just me yelling, Morgan, get your ass back in here.
Oh, that's a whole different podcast. We'll save that for another day. We've now gone for... we've gone for the cartoon hat with the yellow head.
Excellent. This reminds me of Hello Kitty.
It does.
Cam was watching episodes of Kissifer before this as well. I don't know why that popped to my head. That was a bit of a non sequitur.
I don't know. It kind of worked. I like the fact that Morgan has never looked more like Zippy from Rainbow than she does right now.
Unfortunately, she has.
But that's it. That's only when you strapped that zip contraption up to her mouth for some reason.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's taken that off now. Have you muted yourself, John?
No.
Oh, good. That's all right. Right. No, hello.
Muttering under my breath to my daughter, and then my podcast listeners to hear it.
Right, are we actually going to try and watch this?
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready with my Italian subtitles.
Excellent, I'm ready with mine. And as ever, dear listener, this is Doctor Who Dreamland. You can find this, you can either buy the DVD, or I think you can possibly watch it on YouTube as well. I suspect, the way the BBC are going, if they bring in Battlestar Galactica back, this will be available by next week on iPlayer. In the meantime, this is Doctor Who Dreamland. When we press play, you press play, and we will talk you through the animated special episode that links two other episodes that I've already forgotten about, but we'll talk about that when we go. In 3, 2, 1, and play. There we go.
I mean, the problem is that instantly this looks better than anything else they've done.
Do you know what? I think that's one of the reasons why I got really excited when I was watching it, because already the special effects look better.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's ironic that you can make animation fire look more realistic.
I know! This is it! That's the best exploding spaceship we've had for the past 27 episodes. Also, I'm pretty sure... Because if they did this at the time, as in it was done in between the two episodes you've said about, then that means the Matt Smith episode is a callback to this. Oh, man. The Italian subtitles at this point are hilarious. Trying to actually put subtitles on a bubbly-bubbly theme tune. See what I mean? That's definitely... The Matt Smith thing has got to be a callback to this kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But I must admit, I have got really into the whole Doctor Who animated thing. I think they do a really good job.
I think they do.
I agree.
And it's just a wonderful way to see stuff that you protect. You know, I mean, I was obviously, you know, I heard all the kind of audios when you know, the missing episodes with our Telus archive and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, it was wonderful, and it's amazing that the soundtrack does remain, and as a consequence of that, they can animate it. But it was now, you know, it was, they've done some great stuff. The problem is that, of course, they're aiming for kind of real fan favourite stuff, or you know, so you're just, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of disappeared that you're going, will they ever animate this, on account of the fact that nobody wants to see it?
Yeah, this is it. I mean, I kind of would like them to just systematically go through it story by story, but obviously they're probably limited to time, money, and the impending apocalypse of Brexit.
There's an appetite, because for the best will in the world, they have to make it profitable. I mean, yeah, maybe the thing they could have done is actually said, look, here's all the audio, and got aspiring people who are in, people who are fans but are infinitely more talented than us, and say, could you animate this and put your results up online?
Oh, God, yeah, totally. I mean, think about it. Apart from the main actor, they could have got a whole bunch of fan wannabes who just like talking crap into a microphone to voice it. Hello!
Of course, Georgia Moffat's in this, isn't she?
Is she?
Yeah.
Is that Georgia Moffat?
Yes, I think it is.
Ah.
So, I mean, it just kind of gets you, it gets you wondering why, you know, and stuff like we're currently in the middle of a pandemic and stuff and whatnot, and it makes you wonder, why don't they throw totally. Some animations?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. I mean, from what they've been saying about the new series, they've been bouncing stuff around between them and the special effects department and stuff, so it can all be done.
Yeah.
They can share the files, so they could have created a few animated specials just to amuse themselves. Or they could have put this out again on an endless loop.
Yeah. I think the season I stopped watching it many years ago, not because I wasn't enjoying it, because I think he's very watchable, James Spader, but they animated the finale of The Blacklist.
Did they?
Yeah. The most recent season of The Blacklist, obviously COVID-19 happened and they hadn't finished it. They just went and animated the end of it and just got them all to sit in the comfort of their own home.
Perfect. But you see, the BBC have had a weird thing with the pandemic, because they managed to do two series of the News Quiz now on Radio 4, which they've done remotely with no audience. They've managed to do Have I Got News For You remotely with no audience, and yet they couldn't work out how to do The Archers, and they stuck a load of reruns on and then just did monologues.
Yep.
They couldn't work out how to either Skype everybody in on ISDN lines or just record your lines and then they could edit it together.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about stuff like Have I Got News For You and whatnot, they also did a very successful comedy with, you know, they did Staged.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just bizarre.
How they couldn't work out just to record a bunch of audio and splice it together. I mean, as I've shown, editing audio is easy. How polite.
I also, when you were listening to the actors as well, for a long time they're saying, and you know, as you're probably aware, they're still COVID-free. As I said, which proves that Archers exist in some sort of multiverse.
Oh, it does, totally, yeah.
It's happening. The Archers has turned into a sci-fi show.
I mean, this is the weird thing. I mean, when major events happen, I think they did it for 9/11. They certainly did it for Diana's death, and they do it for elections and stuff as well. They can pull an episode and get three people together, whoever was available, to just randomly record 3 minutes of stuff about the thing. Or even 15 minutes if they work quickly. So they can do it in a day, or even do it the next day and make it seem current. And yet the global pandemic comes along and it didn't hit Ambridge until 4 months in.
Yeah.
They were the last place in the world to get COVID-19.
Fantastic. Our number was very low. But what would be great is if they just did stuff like that. I don't know, did you hear about 9/11? 9/11. COVID-19.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, if you think... if you think that... and I think the Beatles may have done it, but Tears for Fears definitely did it. On the Seeds of Love album, they sampled drum tracks, and every single drum beat and cymbal on that album is a sample. They didn't have a drummer. They actually pieced it together beat by beat. So if Tears for Fears can waste 3 years of their life doing that to a shit album, someone at the BBC could have spent an afternoon just splicing together words to make a sentence. You know, oh, I can't believe the pandemic has arrived. Scruff.
You know that only works when there's a clock behind you and it's Homer Simpson describing a night out taking someone home.
I like the fact that John got the Scruff reference. Good, that's all right. I genuinely haven't listened to The Archers since the pandemic started, because as soon as I started doing Greatest Hits and the monologue, I just stopped. I'm so far behind now.
I have listened, I think, to about 12 and a half minutes of The Archers ever.
Oh, no.
And I'm guessing that wasn't concurrently. That wasn't one episode.
It was a friend of mine. I had a friend who, his mum had it on religiously every single day. The kind of house where you'd have to go around and, like, you all sat around the dinner table. Like, even in, like, the mid-90s, that seemed, like, kind of weird to me.
Yep.
His dad was assistant to John Selwyn Gummer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's first name, but he was one of the Surtees brothers who featured in the Lord of the Flies back in the 50s.
Yeah.
So they played the twins, or maybe early 60s, rather.
Yep.
But he went on to have the job that he was there in the background of that picture of the kid being fed the burger.
Whoever advised
his mum has split up. They split up, which is why I don't think I ever met his dad. His mum was lovely and always had the Archers on. That's like my overbearing memory of them.
That's reasonable. I mean, whoever advised John Selwyn Gummer to feed his daughter CJD beef to prove it was fine is a very sick, twisted individual. And John Selwyn Gummer is a moron for doing it.
Who was advisor to Edwina Curry when she said, "No, eggs are fine. Eggs are absolutely fine. Just eat eggs. Eat eggs. Eggs are lovely."
True. The egg marketing board are probably involved, but equally, you see, she was a bit busy boffing John Major at the time. Wasn't
this
being,
is true?
She wasn't making good decisions. They never put that in spitting image, did they?
No, because they had the persona of John Major being very bland.
I know. Having an affair with Edwina Curry blew that out of the water.
Yeah. More peace, dear.
That was such a good line.
Boys.
See, this bit is slightly more dramatic than some of the stuff they managed in the last three seasons.
Well, David Tennant does a better Doctor impression here than he has done probably since end of season three.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I mean, my one complaint with this episode, and I suspect we possibly may have missed one bit, but there's going to be another bit coming up, is the pop culture references are a little too on the nose.
Well, that's always a problem, kind of, with Doctor Who. You know, if they're doing an episode that's in kind of Elizabethan England, you can go, well, okay, you know, it was... Here's where my history feels spectacular. Oh, was it 1590s? Everyone, you know.
Yeah.
But if they're doing so, you know, it's like having Hayley Pace in an episode of Survival.
that was still the highlight of that bloody episode. I do. Looking back on it, I do feel Sylvester McCoy was stiff slightly with some of the storylines he got. I think they were running on fumes by then.
I'm a big fan of Sylvester McCoy. I think he probably had maybe three bad stories.
Only three?
Only three.
Wow. Yeah, but to be fair,
that's like a 75% hit rate. So
I was going to say, but then to be fair, anything with Ace in it, you're going to watch it anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that I think basically when Ace arrived, the show took a bit of a turn. I think the three bad stories, if you're interested,
Why would we want to talk about Doctor Who on a Doctor Who podcast? Okay, ridiculous.
Time in the Ranny is terrible.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of Silver Nemesis at all, although a lot of people really don't like that. I don't like it. And I'm not a fan of Dragonfire, just because of that really bad first episode.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger, he said, in quotation marks.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But the stuff that I didn't like when I first watched it back in 1987, which is depressing me out loud when I say it. But I actually really liked Delta and the Bannerman on a rewatch. And Paradise Towers is brilliant.
I know you're a big fan of Paradise Towers, aren't you?
What's that?
You're a big fan of Paradise Towers.
It's great. And I'm a big fan of, pretty much most of season 26, season 25 and all of season 26, I think is absolutely gold.
Guys, I also
named
that alien thing.
Does it?
I'm sorry. I've just lost it with the voice of this creature.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
I can't tell whether that's supposed to.
I like the squeaky eyes though.
I know the squeaky eyes, but it's already doing the clicking. So why does it need to be speaking over the top unless it's like translating it for the viewer?
I don't know. I think they're trying to do the clicky thing because of the how they're drawing the mandibles.
Okay. It just seems a little bit too future armory for me.
Yeah. To be honest, I mean, the squeaky eyes thing is a little bit too. It's a big lizard. Yeah, we get it.
I just think we should get more animated Doctor Who.
Oh, I do completely. I mean, this bit I think is really cool because it's a very well animated spaceship. We haven't had one of those for ages.
What they should do is when animate all of the Doctor Who serials that don't exist except in audio, and then start doing all the Big Finish ones. There, I got Big Finish in. One of the good things about Big Finish is because it's an audio-only format. That's the longest
we've waited for a Big Finish reference ever.
Absolutely. I know, sorry it took so long. But there's a very early, I think it's a Peter Davison one, and it's to do with ghosts. Obviously, it's not really ghosts. And there's a bit where one of the characters just turns around to the Doctor and says, "Oh my goodness, look at that, the chair, it's lifting off the ground all by itself." And that's when the audio medium wasn't quite working, was the fact that in real life you go, "Oh, for fuck's sake," and run off.
Because this is 67, I think?
50s, it's late 50s.
Late 50s, that's it, because we're going off the planes. I don't like the fact as well that big scary alien watches the telly.
Yeah, I know, it's a kind of meta.
And also, how would they have CCTV back then?
Alien technology.
That'll do it. Well, it works for me.
There you go, sorted. The alien watching human beings on the telly was a meta reference about us watching Doctor Who.
Yeah. I don't think they meant it that way, but let's add that insight because it makes us look remarkably clever.
It's so clever. Clever animation. This is the way forward.
Because it's a weird thing. I don't get on with South Park because I find the animation too simplistic and childish.
Well, that's part of the fun of South
Park. Yeah, I get that completely. It's just one of those little things that just I can't get on board with it. It irks more than it entertains. Which is a me thing, not a them thing. I appreciate that. But this isn't overly animated. It's quite simplistic. And yet, maybe because I've just kind of got used to it, but I really enjoy the way they've done this now.
It's got a more three-dimensional vibe to it than South Park does. South Park surprises you. There's certain things South Park does when you realise there's a depth to the animation that you didn't actually notice. Because for the most part, it looks like But they apparently used the same kind of, I don't know what they're using now, but when they were originally making South Park, they were using the same animation suite that they used to make the Final Fantasy film. It was like the most realistic animation you had seen that was quite clearly still animation. And Matt Stone and Trey Parker were using the same thing to create this seemingly two-dimensional kind of, but there's a lot
of spirits within, yeah.
Yeah.
But they had to move on from that because they tried to make things more topical and they were struggling to do it in the time it takes to do that. So they've had to use even more advanced stuff now to so that they can get the vocals up, off to Korea and get a two-day turnaround in the animation.
Yeah.
All right. So they've outsourced their animation to...
Well, they'll do what anybody does. They've got a load of ideas ready for, like episodes. If there's, like, a story arc ready for the series, they'll have... like 5 or 6 episodes ready for that, and then they'll try and shoehorn in as many current references as possible into the other episodes. But there are episodes which are relevant to that to that week.
Yeah.
So including the 2008 US election one, they knew exactly what was going to happen in advance, which was helpful because it was quite obvious that Obama was going to win that election, but the entire thing was pulled around in about 3 days.
Oh, wow.
All the dialogue sent over, all the animation done. I mean, some of it would have been done in advance because they knew the basic plot of the episode.
Yeah.
But it was literally put together in about 5 days, the whole thing.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
And that wasn't using the Final Fantasy. I can't remember which animation studio was that did that, the Final Fantasy film, because it's terrible.
Is the Tom Cruise thing urban myth, or is that true? Is the Tom Cruise thing urban myth or true? Is there a Tom Cruise episode they haven't been allowed to show?
There was the two Scientology episodes, and one... I mean, I think they're both still on Amazon Prime.
There's one episode of South Park that has been removed. You can't see it. I can't remember why.
Brought from Amazon Prime.
Yes.
It's the cartoon episode. It's the Prophet cartoon episode. The one which features the Simpsons and Family Guy characters in it as well.
Oh.
All right.
That is not on there.
It's not the one about wardrobes. I'm having to tiptoe carefully around this. Wardrobes and exiting them.
Yeah, I know the one you mean. No, that's on there.
Oh right, that does exist.
That yeah.
Oh fantastic!
That was a real episode. The only one, as far as I know, that is missing from release at the moment is the contentious one.
Ah, oh, fair enough then. Good. Briefly going back to the episode, which I know is going off piste, but I like the fact that they've kind of copied the Dalek thinking with their aliens, and the alien that's in charge has more ornate bits and goldy bits. So they've coloured up, and you know, so you've got your blue, your normal blue aliens, and then you've got your little goldy bits for the king alien. And I kind of like the fact that they think that a whole bunch of beetles have a king beetle who looks slightly bigger and has got gold bits on it.
But they usually do that in Doctor Who as well, is usually to cut corners.
Yeah.
You know, but they probably don't need to do that as much with animation, but you know, when you see the Jadoon, and only one of them takes his helmet off, goes, "Hello, I'm a Jadoon." Although he goes, "Bull, chow, bull." And the other ones keep their helmet on. It's just like, it's a lot easier to, you know, so they usually, it's the equivalent of like when you used to watch martial arts films, and they would just kind of attack them one at a time. You go, "There's 10 of you, just grab them." And it will look like an elaborate kind of dance.
Yeah.
The rule of Jackie Chan.
Yes.
I know we've touched on this before, but I'm going to repeat it because it bears repeating. The Jadoon are one of the best aliens to say in a Scottish accent. It's just they're designed for it.
And you would think at that point I would then proceed to do it, but I'm not going to. I'm not your clown. I'm your dancing monkey boy.
Come on. Dance, monkey, dance. I have an issue with this bit, as we're about to see. I'm not sure how it would play out being done today.
Mm.
Somebody going to do blackface?
Not quite. And it's taking a while. I've jumped the gun. It's taking a while to get there. 3, 2, come on, get on with it. Don't make me look like an idiot. I didn't dream this bit. Actually, his facial expressions are far more... There we go. Thank you.
So you think because...
Yeah, I'm not sure that they wouldn't have guns by now. I'm not sure that bows and arrows is...
I know what you're saying, but it's also a lot less violent than blowing them away with shotguns.
That's very true. I don't disagree with that. I'm just my woke liberal snowflakey self kind of shuddered a bit when I saw them doing that.
At least they didn't turn around. There was some guy with like this massive giant headdress.
I mean, I was genuinely going to phone in and complain to Ofcom, but I couldn't get through. It was engaged.
The doctor turns around and says, "Why did you do that?" To which he says, "No. How?" And they get really bad kind of don't.
Oh, that! Oh, God! Do you remember the 80s TV show that was called How?
Oh, yes.
80s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah. Did it go into the 90s? I just remember it from the 80s.
They relaunched it with How To with Fred Dinage, Gaz Top and Carol Vorderman.
Yes, they did. You're right, but they added the word.
They scrapped Carol Vorderman for what's her name? Sean Lloyd.
That happens to Carol Vorderman quite a lot.
It does. Depends what her commercial deals are doing at the time. But yeah, they added the word two, which made it better because the original.
They did and added two to the thing. They funked up the theme tune to make it more 90s as well, which was just horrible.
Yes, but at least they didn't have. Three presenters all sit there and they're going, "How?" Which was just... Yeah, they did. Oh, okay, I missed that gem.
Yeah, that continued.
Oh. Oh, boy.
How To is the first time the sequel was better than the original. Probably not, actually. I forget.
I'm going to have to make sure we reference that as well.
Is that a bit woke as well? I don't think that aliens should always look like that. The kind of X-Files
Grey Man style. Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's a little bit. The thing is, the X-Man Men in Black reference thing is kind of there anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've had, I don't know if we talked over that bit, we've had a certain Mancunian football team mentioned, and there's been a couple of other little pop culture references. It does feel a little bit like they're trying to bolt it into a world the younger audience already understands.
Yeah.
I just wish they used a different football club.
I do think David Tennant's bringing his A-game in us.
Oh, he is, without a doubt. But the thing is, the animation facial expressions are far more expressive and interesting than the real ones that we've had for the last year.
Well, yeah. I don't want to say he's trying to impress his girlfriend at this point. But, you know, working with her and everything during this, maybe.
Oh, yeah, you would try that a little bit harder, wouldn't you?
Yeah, try and impress her father-in-law.
He's got better eyebrows in this as well. Why is that? It's been two of those now. Why aren't they circling around? Is it a windless vacuum they're working in? The little air, windy, turbine-y thing. Which they always have in westerns. I don't know why. But they usually are blowing in the breeze, but that one isn't.
Animation? Alien technology?
There you go. This is making me want an animated version of Broadchurch to see what he could do with that.
Oh, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it? As long as it was the first series of Broadchurch, not the third.
Do I still haven't watched the third?
You're missing nothing.
Yeah. I just can't bring myself to do it because I had really bad things.
It was a struggle, I won't deny. Subtle reference for the band Biohazard there.
And also the band Keep Clear.
Yeah, oh, they were so good. And this is clearly a Star Trek reference. I think you're right about the animation thing, because the backgrounds are static, aren't they?
Yeah,
I think that's what's making me have this train of thought going through my head, that this is very much like a late 90s point-and-click LucasArts game.
Do you know what I was actually thinking? When it had that kind of that vibe to it.
Yeah.
It does. Like, if you've ever saw Grim Fandango, is what this is reminding me of.
I loved Grim Fandango.
Yeah, the updated one is so similar to this in terms of, yes, static backgrounds and simplistic.
Yes, there's a certain Discworld, the game, element to it as well.
Yeah.
It kind of fits you into thinking there's more to it.
Yep. I like the fact that John's now doing some sort of 90s emo solo album cover there at the back.
You can't see Morgan anymore because it's so dark.
Can't see anything.
Morgan's disappeared. I don't think Morgan exists anymore.
Morgan's here.
Morgan, if you're safe, wave your hat. There! Just looms out of the darkness.
That is before they knew.
There is a surprising amount of dialogue for a cartoon as well.
Have you not heard the thing
in
this episode?
Yeah, well, you can't really do too many action sequences with something like this, can you? Before this it comes is, too cartoony.
Yeah, no, fair point. Yeah, you see, clicky clicky is the little things under the jaw.
That's fair.
And nothing if not consistent.
Are his hands some earphone issues there?
You should use Morgan's, they look better.
Yeah, no, it was Morgan that was having the issues.
Ah.
I think the issue is, if you were to have an animated version of a popular sci-fi franchise without too much dialogue involved and trying to cram in as much action as possible, then you end up with Ewoks.
I will not hear a bad word said about Caravan of Courage. It still pains me on a weekly basis that it's not considered canon. It's quite impressive how that helicopter hasn't crashed to the ground, because it's moving far more than it should.
See, this is the problem with animation and my own depth perception, because to me that looks like the Doctor has a very, very small helicopter just next to his head.
He does. It's his new companion.
Why did he not have that all the time? That'd be amazing.
Because Terry Nation estate wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
What was the name of the alien character in the Flintstones?
Oh.
There was an alien in the Flintstones?
That little green thing.
Oh, no.
I can't remember the name of it, but that's what it reminded me of.
That was just so ridiculous.
I don't ever remember there being an alien in the Flintstones.
It was later seasons.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but it just like appeared. It may have been. It wasn't a time with the Jetsons, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, no, not a time with the Jetsons, but like around the same time as the Jetsons. So they were trying to.
Are you sure?
Incorporate some idea of future tech in the Flintstones to sell the Jetsons? I don't know.
Are you sure this wasn't during your more adventurous chemical intake years?
Well, then we must have been doing it together, because I know exactly what he's got. Well, I'm not. A floating guy, and
I'm not ruling out the possibility that you two were on the same drug.
The Great Gazoo, John. The Great Gazoo. That's what it was called.
Okay, I'm going to have to go and look that up. I don't believe it exists.
The Great Gazoo. And the sixth season it appeared, so like really late.
I can't wait for the next film version to bring that in.
Well, who would they get to play Fred next time, since they got rid of Goodman, they got rid of... I mean, Mark Addy was just really weird as a choice.
They got Mark Addy to play Fred Flintstone?
Mark Addy and Viva Rock Vegas.
Yeah, in the sequel. Mark Addy. Mark Addy, best known for what at that point?
Very little. Playing bit parts of...
He was... at that point, I think he was only known for the film Monty.
Actually, no. Hadn't he been in Full Monty by then?
Yes. But, I mean, when you're thinking of someone to be Fred Flintstone, do you really want to do a film about Sheffield Minor Strippers? Well, that's only Fred Flintstone.
Well, to be fair, you know, he used to wear very little clothing, so, I mean, it would fit in.
I like to think that it was Mark Addy's turn in Beaver Rock Vegas that actually got the Game of Thrones gig.
That would make sense.
Yeah. And then I don't know. Who would they get for Fred Flintstone now?
Nowadays?
Well, nowadays, I mean...
Henry Rollins. Just because he's got the jaw.
I would go with Christopher Plummer because there's nothing Kevin Spacey can't do. Oh! In that case, I know Dustin Hoffman's off the list as well, isn't he?
Do you know who they should get? Idris Elba, because he's basically in the
running. How can you imagine?
Oh, that would be so worth it. Absolutely worth it. With Jackie Chan playing Bam Bam. Oh, no, that's what you do. You have Melissa McCarthy playing Fred Flintstone. And you have Idris Elba playing Wilma. Because that annoys just about absolutely every bigot going.
Do you hear that? I can hear the internet exploding.
If this now happens, I'm claiming copyright.
And why is the Doctor moonwalking?
Because that's a conveyor belt in the middle. Probably, apparently, maybe.
It's like every step is a slide backwards.
Yes, or Michael Jackson was actually the Doctor.
Because the Doctor's got funk. It's because he was recording is this the Road to Amarillo? Do you remember?
Yes.
At the treadmills. And they get animated Doctor. Wouldn't it be great if animated David Tennant was actually a distinct entity? So like George Moffat wakes up in the night, David Tennant's feeling slightly amorous, talks to him, she wakes up and it's like she's just cheating her husband with cartoon David Tennant.
That'll be absolutely fantastic. we booked David Tennant for this voiceover, but he's busy, so he sent his deputy.
Cartoon.
Cartoon David walks in.
Oh.
See, that's actually quite well done. That's really well done. The lighting aspect of it, I think they've done a really good job.
How did they get the TARDIS on there?
Alien technology.
Winch and pulley system.
Yeah, obviously, because those would be available quite freely in there.
Oh, yeah.
Nevada in 1952.
Totally. There was the garage that we haven't seen them go to. They actually had a pneumatic forklift jack thing in the back of the diner.
Oh, my God. I've just realised what this reminds me of.
No, go on.
Either of you ever played Perfect Dark, the effective sequel to GoldenEye?
Yes. Oh, yeah, man, you're so right.
So you have Joanne Dark running around and the little alien Elvis by your side.
Yes.
That's what this is.
That is so spot on. Oh, I need to play that again. I can't believe they haven't brought that back out. They brought GoldenEye back.
They did a sequel to Perfect Dark. As a launch game for the Xbox 360, and it wasn't very good.
Oh. I might have to fire up my N64 again just to play that.
Yeah, I must have one kicking about somewhere as well.
It was such a good game. It was so good, yeah. For me, it was as good as GoldenEye and Doom.
Oh, it was a better game than GoldenEye. GoldenEye obviously came first.
Yeah.
People knew the film, so they just felt it was better, but Perfect Dark's a better game.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disagree with that. I just got very very fond emotional attachments to GoldenEye, because I was house sharing in Ipswich. We used to play it all the time, every night, yeah, for about 6 months, to the point, yeah, myself and a housemate realised we were getting addicted because we'd walk to work. And we'd
Golden McDonald's.
We'd be mentally shooting out security cameras as we walked along. Even the aliens are better, more animated and better designed than we've had in the past couple of years.
Especially since Waters of Mars was so dark.
Yeah. This is the thing, isn't it? This actually fits really well into this period of Doctor Who,
yeah,
in that it changes the tone completely. And it's that quirky episode you're missing from this final trilogy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do like the 3D map he's looking at. Reminds me a little bit of Blackadder. No, this is all the land we've captured today.
Well, the fact that aliens get a wee bum as well, I don't know why I like that. The Doctor Who usually kind of shies away from bums.
Yep, that's very true.
The aliens get a cute wee kind of grey alien bum.
That's because it's Scott.
Obviously, you know, it's a completely different kettle of fish if I was there on a podcast talking about how cute my son's bum was, but it's probably okay for Morgan to do it.
Oh, that's fine for Morgan to do it. I would suggest, and I'm no parent, as you know, but if in my experience, if your child has got a grey bum, you might want to get that looked at.
Yeah, get it checked out.
Yeah, possibly. It doesn't seem to be a natural skin colour.
Yeah, Scottish though, so pale blue isn't a bad skin tone.
No, that's not uncommon, I'm told.
The only thing is in the animation is when they smile, it just looks really sinister.
It does. It does. I'd also like to point out that if they tried that handbrake turn in that truck with the TARDIS on the back, it would have fallen over. Oh, what a good line. Actually, now you mentioning Family Guy earlier, the eyes on the alien, on the roachy thing, do look a little bit Family Guy-ish.
Oh.
Did you have the subtitles on for that bit there?
No.
Where Holy Smokes translates to something something Marmite.
Oh, I missed that.
I mean, you either like it or you don't.
Mm. Hey. I still don't know why. I want to know who invented Marmite peanut butter and why.
I've got a friend that thinks it's the best thing ever.
they're wrong. And well done.
I'm just destroying my iPad.
It's smashed?
No, it's not smashed.
That's destroyed.
Smashed, you'd be smashed.
Other fruit-based devices are available.
Absolutely. But if I do mention them, then I'll lose my...
Yeah, you'll lose your exclusive deal, won't you?
Yeah.
Actually, the TARDIS looks a little smaller. It looks like they'd have to duck to get in. And also his hair's going in the wrong direction.
You would think
that's right. It's a bong. It was a bong all along.
It's a bong. Murder free, Doctor Who.
How did he miss him? How on earth he got through that door, I don't know. I think, you know, for the eyes, they use a little squeaky dog toy.
It'd be great if they actually just use a squeaky dog toy for everything. And you're just watching it. It was like watching a sweep.
Oh, I'm amazed they haven't done that for an alien yet. All the alien does is squeak, slightly annoying me.
I meant for everyone. It's like, rather than get David Tennant in for the animation, it's like, whip, 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 whip.
That would be just like listening to Jackie Tyler for 4 hours. I still can't get over that bloke not being able to forgive Rose for abandoning her mother and boyfriend. Get out more. Oh. Oh, look at that. Sign's gone.
Mom's here. Babe, mom.
That's just a weird spaceship.
Uh-oh. Run.
No, it's just... They're running. What did you think? Morgan thought this was a massive giant alien coming to kill them all.
Has Morgan not been paying attention to the episode?
As if we have.
Yeah, but she's supposed to. She's the one who's meant to be watching it.
Yeah, she hasn't seen this one before.
Have you?
I don't know. Morgan, sweetie, if you're already not sure what you've been doing for the past 2 days at your age, you're in for a long, long, long few years ahead.
It's going to be good fun, though.
No? That's true. Ha! Fatto! Yeah. Sorry, what?
Don't you?
It's going to be a fun way of learning Italian as well.
He's got a point.
That's the aliens buggering off. Morgan, just in a world of her own. He's got a pointy face. wait till she sees Matt Smith.
Hey, who's got the pointy face? David Tennant, the alien, the military guy?
David Tennant.
David Tennant's got the pointy face.
I love the fact that Georgia Moffat looks like she's like wearing some sort of waitress equivalent of the outfit that her dad wore in Doctor Who.
Yes.
It's got a bit of a Fifth Doctor vibe about it.
It does, doesn't it?
It needs a decorative vegetable, but unfortunately they're all out of veg today.
Yep.
Well, it's Nevada in the 1960s. They didn't have vegetables.
Maybe the vegetable comes into after the Doctor leaves. I don't even want to comment.
No. Moving on.
David, what on earth do you want to go pick anything?
It's not copyright, you're just butchering it. Morgan was worried when she was doing the tune there. No, sorry, you're right, it's copyright. It's okay, nobody would know that's the tune you were trying to do.
You're fine singing it yourself as long as you don't show any sort of clear lyrics and stuff.
Yep, Doctor Who.
Okay, well, I've seen it now.
So there you go. So that's filled in that important gap in the information. I won't lie, I really like that.
Yeah, it was inoffensive. It wasn't over long, which they could have done considering, you know, the length of all of these specials from this year.
Yep.
Which is maybe why it doesn't feel so long.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because when we were talking about this, I was convinced it was only about half an hour long. Probably because I'm used to the other episodes being shorter, and the consequence of that, this being shorter. In my head, it was 25, 30 minutes. I did like it. I actually thought that it was one of the... It was actually, weirdly enough, at that point, the closest thing we'd had to something really kind of Doctor Who. I love the Waters of Mars, but it felt really off after Planet of the Dead. It felt too dark. To the point I realise now the best... I wasn't overly keen on the next Doctor. I don't know why I didn't dislike it when I first watched it, but I've subsequently come to dislike it. Planet of the Dead to me was just nowhere near as good as I expected it to be, and Waters of Mars was a bit too dark. So, but at the stage now where this is the closest to kind of honest to God what I was liking from the theory of Doctor Who that we'd had this far this year.
Yeah.
From a production of a kids programme.
Yeah, I reappraised it all, and I do still think Waters of Mars is very dark, but I do really like it.
I think Waters of Mars is very sinister, and as we said on the last podcast, it has that throwback to classic sci-fi.
Yeah.
And monsters and etc. But you're right, it was a very dark... But this is kind of where they were starting to take this, weren't they, with the brooding, endless goodbyes and all the dwelling and musing that was going on. So this suddenly coming in, completely ignoring all of that, and just, I fancied a bacon sandwich and, oh, look, I've got aliens. It was kind of perfect Doctor Who, because that's what had started to happen anyway when he was off on his little solo adventures. He just rock up to see a thing and stuff would happen. And it kind of...
It does fit in with the theme of the specials anyway, in that, yeah, we have a single episode companion or two.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
We are still exploring how the Doctor works when they're on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's, for me, the partly because it's pared down.
Yeah.
Because Waters of Mars, it's essentially a two-hander with Lindsay Duncan, but then you've got about seven people down to five people and three people around in the background, which kind of muddies it a bit. But this is essentially a three-hander. It's just him and the couple.
Yeah. I mean, go back to Waters of Mars, and I feel like I should have maybe mentioned this more during Waters of Mars. The thing about Waters of Mars was, I think Waters of Mars should have justified it being dark by leading into the finale in that it should have walked away with the Doctor arrogantly.
Yeah,
he was a Time Lord victorious. And the
danger of that, though, is that they had the Children in Need in between, didn't they? And for Children in Need that year, they showed, what, the first 2 or 3 minutes of the episode?
Good.
Of The End of Time?
Yep.
Yes.
Up until the Master's appearance in the Vision, and then just cut it. Yeah. So had arrogant Doctor walked away at the end of Waters of Mars and then come back all jolly Doctor at the start again, that would have grated.
Yeah, I know, but what I meant by that was the way I would do it. I'm not saying that I would have done the End of Time any differently, but I feel that the Waters of Mars was a way, you don't, the Waters of Mars to me became really dark with no real consequences at the end.
True.
Yes. Yeah.
So what I mean is, like, an alternate universe where the End of Time is about the kind of, and I suppose to an extent it is, the kind of fall of the kind of hubris, if you will, of the 10th Doctor in some respects, but to really him, or to the point that my perfect End of Time would have been almost a point where you actually potentially consider the 10th Doctor to almost be in the cusp of being the villain.
Yes. That could have been, yeah, I can see where you're going with that.
Would that have been a brilliant end to the 10th Doctor had there been a proper villainous story for maybe 1.5 episodes? Pure redemption at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's just, I just felt that...
But you couldn't do that at Christmas.
No, you couldn't do that at Christmas. But to me, and obviously, you know, it's the same to other people, because now you know that they're exploring the concept right now through multi-platforms, but that whole kind of the whole idea of the Doctor thinking, wait a minute, almost starting to believe his own hype and thinking, I'm a god, to me just had such potential, which he then said, Lindsay Duncan decided to shoot herself in the face, and he went, oh,
I've been bad.
Yeah. Oops.
I think that would have, I think, added a maybe more awareness or self-awareness to the character.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they did what they did.
I just tried to go off too lightly.
They've never really punished... The Doctor never gets punished for his mistakes. Does he? Even when he's done...
Not the mistakes in Waters of Mars, no.
No, but even when he's meddled where he shouldn't and he's had to make life and death decisions and all the rest of it, there's always some kind of, well, what else could I do? And he just carries on. I guess they kind of...
So what you're saying is we need a new Trial of the Time Lord.
Yeah.
Do we really?
Trial of the Time Lord is something that you come around every 20 or 30 years, just like doing a quick recap of everything that's happened up until that point. Over a series, why not?
Again, if we're going to do that, then we need to change companions 2/3 of the way through with no justification and just scream a random health drink at the end just for continuity.
And not invite Jodie back for the following season and just let her...
Yeah, that's the
enjoy,
one.
Enjoy someone else wearing a Jodie wig.
Yeah.
Next season is Idris Elba and a Jodie Whittaker.
and no one will be able to tell.
No, that would be absolutely superb.
No one will be able to tell, as I don't know. Let's say Leslie Joseph as the Rami. Just shits and giggles.
Well, Dave, if you wanted to maintain some kind of weird universality continuity thing, then Joan Collins as the Rani.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that effectively, you know, they were sisters in the Colbys dynasty. So, that, yeah, I think that would work for me.
There you go.
Yep. Anyway, right.
Apparently has an opinion. On this episode of Doctor Who, which I feel we should hear, since you might be the only person actually talking about the episode right this second.
Well, we can give it a crack, a spirited go. I can't see her. Is she hiding again?
She's hiding. I'm not sure what's going on here. She's turning into a teenager. It's really depressing. That's a whole different podcast.
It's not called hiding. It's called lying down.
Right, okay. It's not called hiding. It's called lying down. Anyway, have you got an opinion on this before it turns into, like, the four-hour mark?
I think it would have been better if it was actually in the light, but with anime, it looked better because it was in the desert.
Can't argue with that.
I'm having trouble with it.
Yeah.
I actually think animation was pretty cool.
No, but if you take Morgan's point that...
Good.
Morgan thinks the desert made it look quite good.
Yeah, that's what I'm agreeing with. I think... Seeing as I found, when you see the new Doctor Who animation style for the first time, having been used to humans moving in a slightly wooden way, it takes a couple of episodes to kind of get your head around it and get used to it. So I'm more used to that style than Morgan is.
Yeah.
Well, we all are than Morgan is. But I think she's absolutely spot on that if you're going to do that, the desert thing really kind of worked. And there was a couple of, when it was all done by moonlight, I think they actually did a better job moonlighting certain episodes, certain scenes, than they would have done had they done it in a studio or a backlot. So
yeah, I do agree with what you're saying.
I think once again Morgan has cut through the crap and provided some real insight which we couldn't be asked doing.
I will say the desert and Planet of the Dead did look really good. It's a shame the rest of the episode was an absolute shit show.
Well, again, the explosions in that episode in Dreamland were far more realistic than anything anything we saw in Waters of Mars. I still maintain that you couldn't have had fire on the surface of Mars. Anyway, right. So that was Doctor Who special animated special episode Dreamland, and that now brings us to the precipice of the end of the Tennant era.
The end of time, you might say.
Yeah, of itself, if you will. And so we are going to take a few days to recover from that adventure. We're going to gather our thoughts and then we are going to reconvene and we are going to hammer the crap out of End of Time Parts 1 and 2 in a double episode special, which our regular listener will know will not end well for anyone. In the meantime, that has been the... Untidy popcorn, directionless commentary, Doctor Who, yada yada special, blah blah blah. And I really quite enjoy that. Over there in the dark is John and Morgan.
Bye.
Bye. And looking, well, about as confused as she ever does, is Laura.
But can I just say, no hat during the entire episode, and you haven't mentioned it.
I didn't like to, because I didn't know if you'd forgotten. Or if you'd even noticed.
Morgan, you need
to up your game, Laura. Fine. Yeah. Saturday, I will be replaced.
It's not an Autons episode, is it?
The faceless ones.
yes, right. So thank you very much for listening, and we shall see you on the next episode. Thank you very much. Goodbye.